while it is all your prayers. We heard in the morning message today about John the Baptist. And the preacher told us that John the Baptist was the most commended man in the Bible from the Lord. John the Baptist made choices in his life, we were told. Brother Ed used the illustration that, like this piece of wood, it don't make any choices. You can't commend wood. They don't do anything. The blessing of John the Baptist was God in him, but it was the choices that he made too. And I believe that. I believe that was true. You don't commend the piece of wood for what it did because it doesn't do anything. But you can't blame it either. You can't lay charge to it. But you can with people with choices. So there is a flip side to this. There was a man named John the Baptist who made wise choices in his life. He made a choice of what God would be to him. So much so that he dedicated his life to the place of what looks like poverty and rough life. To give his life to the Lord, he made choices for that, and the Lord commended him. There was another man in the Bible I'd like to think about a little bit, who was probably one of the most condemned men in the Bible. He made choices too. His name was Esau. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. That's not a real good combination. Who would want it to be said that God said something like that? And I know in biblical language it probably meant that he loved less, or that there was less value, or made decisions in his life, basically. That God couldn't work with him with. He done things that would let him out of the favor of God. So I'd like to look at Esau a little bit tonight. We heard this morning what people ought to be. What God would like for people to be. Now you're going to hear what you're not supposed to be. Esau. Esau was a man, you probably remember the story. Esau would have been grandson of Abraham, right? Abraham was one of those men that probably of the Old Testament, he's one of the most commended men too. Abraham was a fascinating character. And for his time and place, he was a great man of God. To get a hold of God for his day and time and have faith that he had in God was special. He was a special man that believed in God. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. He had Isaac at 100 years old. Isaac grew to about 40 years old and he married a wife. And after that he had sons. In my math, it leaves about 35 years. But I don't know in what place he was born in that. And I don't know how much the scripture really tells about that. But it sounds like that Esau would have been raised in a portion of Abraham's life. I wonder if he ever said, "Grandpa, who's this God you're talking about?" I wonder if Esau had any knowledge at all. I'm going to have to assume that he did, if you'll give me the liberty tonight. That he knew that there was a promise to Abraham that said that I'm going to make of your seed a great nation. Now, you think Abraham kept that to himself? Or maybe he would just tell Isaac and Isaac kept to himself. No, it wouldn't have happened that way. Not in logical thinking, it wouldn't have. So, in logical thinking, Esau would have known something of Abraham. of the life of Abraham. Granddad, where did you come from? What's some of your history? I think Abraham probably told those things. Somebody got a hold of it and wrote it. It was written down. Esau, no doubt, knew it. How about that he was going to make of his seed like the sand is on the seashore? Innumerable. How about that? I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those in your seed. You're going to have a line and a seed, and I'm going to bless that in your life. I'd like to think Esau knew that. And with all of that, Esau made choices. I think there's a lot difference tonight, a lot of difference in God's mind, of people that don't have understanding. I think there's a great difference in people that haven't heard the gospel. I think there's a great difference tonight, folks, in people that haven't been taught the ways of God. I think it's a lot different for those that have. For those that have heard. No, I'm going to say more than heard because I really believe there's more than heard here. We heard today that there was something more than hearing. There was the demonstration of the power of God's Spirit in it. And that makes us all responsible. You can hear things and wonder, is that true? Is that true? Is this guy telling me right or is that guy? I don't know what to believe. But there's something about the witness of the Spirit of God in your heart that you cannot just push away. Esau had the witness of God in Abraham. And he had it in Isaac. And God wanted it to be in Esau too. Esau was born first. He was the one chosen. This is remarkable to me, but he was chosen to be born first. Who chooses things like that? You would have to say it was God. I didn't choose me to be born when I was born and look like what I wouldn't have done that. God did it. God chose those things and not up for me to make those decisions, but it's up for me to live with what God chose in life for me. And then God does more than that for eternity because then He comes through His Spirit and begins to witness, doesn't He? He witnesses and convinces of righteousness, of rightness, of those kind of things. God begins to work in our lives. And then we become more responsible to that. So I'm saying tonight, I think within this congregation tonight, there is a huge responsibility. Because there is a huge understanding. So I want to pick this thought up in Hebrews. Say a little bit about that because Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. It's not odd that he mentioned Esau to a people that would have understood the whole dynamics of Esau. They knew Esau knew. They knew Esau was the grandson of Abraham. They knew Esau was the son of Isaac. They knew Esau was supposed to have been the one that through his seed should have brought Christ into the world. They knew that. They knew that his responsibility of knowledge was with him. And so he writes this to the Hebrews. I'll pick it up in the 15th verse. It says, looking diligently. Looking diligently. Lord, help us today. We may lack that a lot in our lives. Looking diligently, with diligence, with purpose, with direction, with understanding, with diligently, not haphazardly, not indifferently, but diligently. It's a purpose of mine. I'm pursuing. I'm pursuing it. I felt like the Lord said to me in not too distant of a past, I was thinking about service, and I felt like the Lord said to me, well, if you're going to go to service all the time like you do, why don't you get diligent about it? And I knew what the Lord was talking about. I knew what He was talking about. When He witnessed that, so I knew what He was talking about to me. You sing the songs, what do they say? Do you pay attention to what they're saying? They say something. They say something. Do we listen to the songs or do we sing them? I'm not much of a singer at all. But that ain't the point. The point is if you're going to do it, why not do it diligently? Why not get out of it what I'm trying to get to you? I'm going to speak to you in the song if you'll listen. If you'll be diligent, I'll talk to you in the message if you'll come to hear. If you come to know something, won't I let you know it? Why don't you be diligent about it if you're going to do it? This says looking diligently. Why? This tells us looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God. And I don't think this is particularly, it's true. Fail of particular trials, maybe, sure. Or persecution, maybe, true. It's in whatever you're doing that you would fail of that. But I think this was a much broader sense than I think it means that any man fail of salvation. That any man would lose his soul. That any man would get to the point that he would lose his soul. Because we live in a world now, if then, much more now, look at the world we live in. Look at the things that are trying to pull our attentions and pull our minds and disturb us inside and pull us away from the real things of God. This way, he told them here, and this is what, get the context of this, because this goes on to talk about Esau, and this is what this is really meaning. You could lose your soul. In a moment of easiness, in a time of lackness, not being diligent after it or pursuing it, in that time, you could lose your soul. The grace of God that keeps us. You could lose your soul. Tonight, you could lose your soul over that. A moment. A time of weak, not giving in to weakness. Those kind of times could actually lead to a loss of salvation. So looking diligently puts a great stir on us, doesn't it? To be lost forever? Lord help. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That little bit, that little inkling, that little thing that starts out so small that you look at it and say, that thing's too small to hurt me. Well, I could swallow that and go on. That don't mean anything to me. And my youth and my vigor and all that is, well, that little seed, that little root, that little beginnings, the rudiment don't mean nothing to me. I'll brush through that thing and keep on going. I'm a person of fortitude. I've got abilities. I'm not giving in to that kind of things. I can go right on through that. Looking diligently, understanding, knowing. I've said it many times. There's been smarter, by far, more intelligent, more capable, more gifted men than I have failed of the grace of God. And I shudder at it when I look and see it happen. And I say they were in every realm better than I was, more capable of doing the things they needed to do, and they failed of the grace of God. Because this isn't about might and strength. The battle isn't to the strong in this one. The race is not to the swift in this one. But you better be diligent. It's about choice. We don't commend the wood, as Brother Ed said. We don't condemn it either. Condemnation belongs to choices. Your choices are condemned when you make them wrong. Esau made bad choices. And this talks about allowing that root of bitterness springing up and defiles many. Who does it defile? Who does it defile? Who did Esau defile? It defiled many with Esau. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. I don't think this is at all saying that Esau was a fornicator. I think it was saying, if there be any fornicators, which is prominent, or profane in any way, like Esau. You know what Esau was? A man that knew. A man that knew. A man that had saw the power of God. A man that had saw it in his family's life. He had heritage. He had the word of confirmation of witnesses. He had all those things, and yet Esau, for so little, folks, he came to a place in his life. Would Esau have really died? No. He was the lineage. He wasn't going to die. He did not have faith in God. He let something get in there, and it become the eternal valuable things become worthless to him. He allowed the things of this life, the things of this world, the food of the body. He allowed the taste buds. He allowed the passions. He let the desire just of natural things overtake him. To the point that he gave up. He gave it up. The valuable things. I ask this question. Who did Esau hurt? His children. And his children's children. And his children's children's children. He affected them all their life. It changed them. Over in Matthew, it says of Abraham, Isaac, and it gives a lineage of who? Jacob. Not Esau. Esau came to a place and he says, I'm hungry. My brother, give me to eat. And oh, Jacob, the surplanter. The man always out to get something for himself too. Oh, I would think to my brother, I would say, come, brother, and eat. And be welcome. Not Jacob. Oh, you've got something I want, my brother. Give me your birthright. What good is it to me? I'm dying. And he sold it for, in modern terms, a bowl of beans. He sold his eternity for a bowl of beans. And at least he has a bowl of beans, folks. People are selling their soul a lot cheaper than a bowl of beans. And they're selling, I want you to get a hold of this tonight, what you do is a choice. It can be condemned. Your choice is what does it. You have children tonight, be alert to it. Be aware of it. Yes. You can sell your children tonight for a bowl of beans. For the desire to watch something with your eyes. To listen to something with your ears. So cheap. So cheap to sell. Eternal things. Oh, you say, it doesn't mean nothing to me. You got a child? You going to have grandchildren? You're going to sell them cheap. Cheap. No devil. He comes with cheapness. Cheapness. This whole thing is put in a context of the profanity of Esau so that you and I will look and see how did he get there. Looking diligently, brethren. Looking diligently. Because if you don't look diligently, you're going to be like Esau. How can you prove to Esau that he done it? You can't. He felt it, though, at one point. He felt it. I'm amazed. I marvel at how many. See, this is hard to preach to the world, this message, and this is why. They don't know Esau. You and I know Esau. Don't we? Don't we know the Esaus of our life? Don't we know those that stood here? Don't we know those that sat there? Don't we know those that was under good loving care? Don't we know those that knew the testimonies that came down, not with words, folks, with power, that came down with the Spirit of the Lord witnessing to that, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. Yes, I healed them. Yes, I did it. Yes, I blessed them. Yes, I got them out of the ditch. Yes, I delivered them from sin, from alcohol, from the things of life. Yes, I did that. With power, the Lord came and witnessed with that. And we know our Esau's. You know Esau? I know Esau's. I know Esau's that sells their marriage for a bowl of beans. I know Esau's that sells their little children for less than a bowl of beans. That gives it up so easily. And how valuable. How valuable it is. Oh Lord, open our eyes. To how cheap the devil is with what he brings. The Scripture says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, I think that's talking about one feeding. I'll just go ahead and tell it. Linda and I have dieted quite a bit in our married lives. So I know about dieting. I've lost and gained hundreds and hundreds of pounds, probably. And I know this about food. When you're hungry and you're dieting, and you look forward to that food. I mean, you count time of, hey, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten, and you look forward to it. It goes so fast. You eat it, and then you're like, anybody ever diet in here? And the appetite, guess what? He ate his beans, didn't he? And he lost his birthright, didn't he? And then what was he a little while after you eat the beans? Hungry. All over again. Brother Ed, all over again. Same pattern. Same way. For one morsel. And why it says morsel, there's more than one bean in the pot, okay? More than a morsel is because it's one feeding, it's done, and then what are you looking for? Another bowl of beans. What are you going to sell next? What do you got left to sell? It gets worse. It always gets worse. You sell it a little for it, and then you take it, and it seems to satisfy for a moment, and it didn't mean nothing anyway. That old birthright wasn't feeding me nothing. I wasn't getting anything out of it. Folks, it's a lie of the devil. Those good things will profit you in your life. They'll bring much happiness and contentment in your life. Just not right now in your flesh. But you'll reap it.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Michael left out one little important part of the reaping and sowing. The nature of it. You sow the wind. You reap the whirlwind. You sow one grain. You reap 2 or 3 years. There's always increase in this nature of the law of reaping, sowing and reaping. So when people sow a little, they reap a lot. For one morsel, then he turn around and eat probably really just put it in. I'm so angry, he probably just shoveled it in and he turns around and his brother's grinning. You had it for a moment, but I'm going to have it forever. What we're talking about, folks, is things that are temporal versus the things that are eternal tonight. And I use this, and I'm not ashamed to use it. Think of your children.
Yes.
Precious, my little children that I'm responsible for. I can't trade them for a bowl of beans. I can't trade their eternity for a bowl of beans. They're too valuable to me. I want them to have things in this life. I want them to be successful and have the things. Of course I do. I'm a father. I want them to have those things. But I want them to have more than that. I want them to have something secure in their life. I told Brother Ivan, it's the message today, Brother Ed was talking about John the Baptist, and he said he wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. He wasn't just by anything to come along. And I told Brother Ivan a while ago, I'm tired of reeds shaking in the wind. I'm tired of things that don't hold up under me. I'm tired of things that move. I'm tired of all of the things of the world that moves, and it's supposed to be this way, and it's that way, and it moves, and it's shaking. And anything that comes along with popular opinion, it moves with it. I'm tired of it. Give me something that lasts. Something secure. I want to give my family my home. I want to give them something. If they don't value anything else, I want to give them something that's forever. Oh, they may not value it, but I pray they don't sell it for a bowl of beans. That they have something that says, this worked. It works. For a morsel. He sold his birthright. I'll be honest with you, I don't even sure I know what all that means. All that I know that it meant something to be born first in a family. It was the authority of the family. It was the strength of the family. It was a double portion. But it was more than that with him. Because he's in the line. There was something eternal and special about this, and he knew it. If he didn't know it, then this don't mean anything. He knew it. He knew that the God of Abraham had ordained it. He knew that the God of Isaac had ordained it. Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. I'll die for it. God gave it to me, and I'm going to die for it. You remember when Ahab came to, who was it, Naaman? That had the vineyard beside his place. And he come to him and said, This your vineyard is nigh to my place. Sell me, I pray thee, that your vineyard. I'll give you money of what it's worth, or if you'd rather, we'll find you a better vineyard. I want this vineyard for my own. And he said, not so. You know why? David wrote in one place, let the lines fall to me in pleasant places. You know what he's talking about? His heritage. His heritage. His birthright. What he owned. What God gave him. This man, beside Ahab, was a man of integrity. He wasn't out greedy after money or more or gain or anything. He was after what God had given him for the peace of his life. This is where I belong. It's my birthright. God chose me to have this portion. And this portion is mine by heritage of God. And I wouldn't sell it to you for any amount of money. Can't be bought. He was a man of integrity. He wouldn't sell what God had given to him. But Esau wasn't that man. Esau was a man without those convictions. Esau was a man that didn't care for the eternal or the things that God had done. And therefore, he allowed himself. I don't know at what point he got there in life. Who can know? But at one point in his life, he diverted away from the teachings of Abraham. Because Abraham didn't have that. And Abraham left the land that he was in and sojourned in the land of promise, believing God to be faithful. Do you know that Esau was a child of promise? God promised Abraham a lineage. And by faith he received it. Esau was born of faith in a sense. He didn't care. You know, I know that it could possibly be that young people could say sometimes, why did I have to be born among a people like this? God put you here. God chose you in this place that you're in. And God has a purpose. For we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. You don't reject wood, folks. Only choices. Only people that make choices are rejected. He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I don't think this is talking about the fact that Esau was so lost eternally he couldn't be saved. This is talking about the loss that men suffer in life for trading the valuable things for a bowl of beans. There is things that you cannot repent of. You can't change them, in other words. They're done. They're done. There is things that you can say, I wish that it would be better. I repent. I want to change it. I'm desperate to change it. That can never be changed. Though he sought it with tears. I don't think there's a place that you get to the point you do it with tears and the Lord won't save you. I think he was in a place that he said, I wish I hadn't done that. The contract's made. You ate the beans. Folks, it's the same way with this. I thank God when I see the miracle of Him putting people back together again.
But there's been people that repented of it, but they couldn't bring it back because there was no repentance for it. You know, you can't change the things in life. You can't live weak in your life. You can be saved at the end of your life, but you can give your children such a confused road, they won't know where to walk. And you can repent if you want to, but you can't get there. You can't change the innocent years of your children and what you do to them. You can't change it. I know it's isn't popular, it isn't good to think about, but it's the reality of our life. Children get to a certain age and they're damaged, and it takes the great mercy of God to get them saved, and a lot of times the Lord don't even work through straightening it all out. He don't. We're not careful. The bowl of beans that we eat will make our children almost impossible to know how to even live in a good marriage. Too selfish. Too self-centered. Too much about the way I feel. And you know, we're going upstream on this, and not with God. Get me right. We're fighting the current of the world to do it right anyway. Because there are continually trying to get us to eat the bowl of beans. To sacrifice righteousness. To sacrifice holiness. To sacrifice everything that's good and meaningful in our lives. It's continually being offered. Don't you? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry tonight for a little fun? Aren't you hungry for some excitement? Aren't you hungry for some things? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you starving to death? It's uphill. Oh, I get provoked. I'll just be honest with you. Lord, help me. I do get provoked. I mean, Lord, help us as people. Do you know we live in a country that is saying to our young men, 20 years old, that it's okay to sit around and be took care of? In whose world? Brother, you're eating a bowl of beans. It ain't what God intended. And it all works after a while to the same inevitable end. Destruction. Destruction. So Esau repented of what he had done. He sought him. Oh, you remember when he came, I don't understand it all, but do you remember when he came to get his blessing? Isaac's old now. And he had the blessing. I don't know how it all works, but I remember he came. And old Jacob had been there before him too. And he wept before him. And he said to his father, Isaac, bless me. Bless me. And he said, I have no blessing. Whom I blessed is blessed. I have nothing left. And he wept. Oh, how awful it is to be in that kind of a place. Time, folks, is getting on. It really, really is. And we got choices to make. And I know it isn't in our own fortitude. You know what the choice we make is? Lord, I'm coming after you hard. I ain't got nothing in me to change anything. But Lord, I'm sure coming after you. The only choice that I can make is that I'm either going to serve the Lord or ain't. Lord, I intend to do it and do it with all my heart. Lord, here I come. I'm a running. I'm running to you, Lord. I'm hurt. I've run too much. Eat too many beans. Well, I've been too much out there in the world. Got too many things. Already started on the path. Wait. You know why I'm standing here? I feel like I give all the credit to the Lord, but to what the Lord does with other people, I give a lot of the credit to why I'm here today, because there was a little old woman named Irma Clevenger that was my grandmother that would not turn loose of the Lord. Brother Tony, to her, she wasn't much. Brother Tony looked at her, she wasn't a physical specimen of any kind, was she? Wasn't much to look at. But she had a strong spirit inside her that wanted to serve God. And she laid as a foundation to that.
of things that, I'll be honest with you, I looked at her sometimes in my growing up years and said, what is it? What is she even doing? She's so peculiar. She's so different. I didn't understand her. But the Scripture says something about until the day of their visitation. And God started visiting me one day. And boy, did I start understanding my grandmother. Because I started having the same thing inside me that she had inside of her. She had a desire in her to do away with the world. To put the world aside. Whatever could hinder her, she had a desire to get rid of it and put it aside. And all of a sudden, I started having the same desire. And there was my grandmother. She died a year later of what she died of after I got saved, what she had the year before. The symptoms of what she had before. And the Lord raised her up. And left her a year for a young man. 1 year later, He left her there for me. And I'm so thankful that He did. Don't, folks, don't be a profane person. Ask Esau. Do you know how little it takes? Think about it. What did he do? In human eyes, you would look and say, as you would Eve. What did she do? She simply picked the fruit. Seems so petty. King Saul done 99.9% of what he was told to do. Didn't amount to a whole lot. Esau, all he did was got hungry. Sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. Don't seem like there was a whole lot to it. But in God's world, there's a lot to it. Because choices are on top of choices, folks. And once you choose that I don't want the way of the Lord, it isn't important enough to me to really die for. It's not important enough for me to suffer for. You know what Esau should have told Jacob? My brother. Forget it. Forget it. I'll be right here dying while you're eating them beans, but you're not getting the birthright. You can't have what God gave me. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, you have a lineage tonight. You have a plan. You have a lineage. There is a lineage. There is things that's handed down from people. But you got something more than that tonight. You got something that's been preserved through the ages for you. You've got something tonight that the world shuns, the world hates. You've got something that's precious and valuable that'll take you from here to heaven. And oh, tonight it's valuable. It is so valuable. And I know people feel like they're young and invincible. Well, you're not. And what you do now, whatever age you're at, what you do now, you think, well, I ain't married yet. What you do now affects your marriage. What you do now affects your children that haven't even come yet. What you do in your life and the choices you make, no, we don't commend the wood. We don't blame it either. But choices will get both. Your choices in your life will be rewarded or they'll be condemned. There'll be good choices that works for your eternal good. So there'll be bad choices that'll lead you to a road of misery. And I have heard it so many. I have seen people, and Lord help. And if it was just in the world, I can say, I was there. I understand. I was in a world once and knew little to nothing about God, and I wasn't condemned for the things I did. Believe it or not, a lot of things did not bring guilt to my life. Well, I didn't know nothing to bring guilt to. So I understand that. But when I see the children of the saints and the saints start reaching for the beans, oh Lord, have mercy. And they say, oh, I love these little fellas so much that I'm going to teach them to be something great. Oh Lord. Teach them to love the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll hurt you somewhere in life. I believe there is a lot of heartache and a lot of times that people are like old Esau.
And he gets to the place and they say, possibly, and we hope even, I'm saved now. I'm an old man. Lord, had mercy on me. Returned to the God of my fathers. But boy, did I leave my children shipwrecked. My grandchildren have never even heard of God. They've been consumed by this old world and all of its filthiness and all of its evil-mindedness that's only evil continually. Lord, help it not to be that so. I hope the Lord blesses this little message. Don't sell your birthright for any price. Amen.